Welcome back to season two of the Jane Wareham podcast. I'm your host, Jane. I'm the Mindshift coach, an international speaker, and I've got over 10 years experience in the well-being space. It's truly my mission to help you see the power of your mind so you can use it to create the life and business of your dreams. Don't let your mind hold you back any longer. Let's make some mind shifts. Hello. Welcome for your first time to season two of the Jane Wareham podcast. I am so excited that you're here. And today is going to be a good one. This is going to be a great episode because maybe you're new to this. Maybe you've never listened to me before, and I'm welcoming you and thanking you for being here. Also, if you've been an active listener and you listen every single week, well, you know, I'm grateful for you as well. And today is the first episode of season two. Season two is all about mind shifts. Mind shifts. I am the mind shift coach. What does that mean? I am all about helping you see the power of your mind, and I'm all about helping you to truly feel empowered by your mind, to see that you can control it. And when you do have control over it, you can make your dreams come true, honestly. And in today's episode, I thought it would be a great opportunity to take you back into my life. And I'd love to share about my journey. And I'd love to share how now I realize that I have made some incredible mind shifts along the way, way before I ever knew that mind shifts mindset was even a thing. And I'm going to talk about some of those moments because they were game changers. And they are truly the reason why I was guided down the path to where I am today. And I want you to know, and if you're listening, what I'm hoping you're going to get out of my podcast is I want you to open up your mind. I want to encourage you to see things from a different perspective. I want to encourage you to work on your mindset every single day. Because even as the mindset coach, even as a mindset expert myself, I work on my mindset every single day. And it is through the daily work, it is through applying tools that I shared in season one, tools that I'm going to continue to share in season two. It's through applying these tools and actually taking the action on it, which is going to make the true difference in your life. I want you to know that here's the thing about mindset. Mindset doesn't change the situation that you're in. Mindset changes how you react to or perceive the situation that you're in. So you've got the power in your mind. If you're unhappy with what is happening around you, if you're unhappy with your circumstance, change it in your mind first. Start changing it in the mind. Allow that to happen. Allow yourself to dream. Allow yourself to see what you really want. Because that is key. I'm going to tell you right now, every single thing that has happened in your life that happens starts with a thought. And that can be good or bad. If you're stressed and constantly thinking about the debt that you have and all you think about is debt, 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 how am I going to pay off my debt? I don't have enough money. I'm sorry to say, but you're manifesting that into your life. We speak our reality into existence. And first, it's a thought. So you think about it, and then you talk about it for complaining about those things, and then you wonder why your situation's not changing. So I really want to encourage you to start to see that a happier life for you, a successful business, making your dreams come true, starts with a thought. It is one thought away to get started, one thought away. So I want to take you back a little bit into my life. So I wasn't always a coach. I absolutely wasn't always a coach. I was not always an entrepreneur, although I've always been a very strong leader, and I've always, for quite some time, thought I wanted to have my own business. But I want to take you back. So I actually happened to go to university for business, oddly enough. And I mean, there's no coincidences in life, so maybe I'm not surprised. So I went to the University of Ottawa. I'm based in right now in Toronto, Canada. So I grew up in I'm actually from the east coast of Canada. I'm from Newfoundland. I was born in Newfoundland and then grew up most of my life in Ottawa. So let's go to university. So I go to university for business. Very humbling experience, I'm not gonna lie. So that was back in 2003. Okay, I'm dating myself a little bit. Back in 2003, went to Ottawa U for business. Thought I was gonna maybe fail out because it was a lot harder than high school. High school, I was slaying it. High school was a breeze, except calculus. And so I made it through university. I was like, I'm moving to the city. I gotta move to the big city. Toronto's where it's at. And so I moved to Toronto and I started working as one does. I started working in project management. And this is actually not at all a career that I ever, if you had asked me in university, what am I going to do? I got a degree in business marketing. I thought I was going to be a brand manager. That's what they trained us to be. I had no idea project management was even a thing. And let me tell you, I only fell into it because my good friend Danielle ran into me on the street in Toronto and she asked me what I was doing. And I was actively looking for work. And she said, hey, apply to this agency. Just give me your CV, you'll get a job, and you can be a project manager. And I was like, what the fuck is a project manager? She said, don't worry, you can do it. I mean, I love this girl. Look at that attitude right away. I was like, bitch, I can do anything. I was like, okay, sign me up. That started my career. So that was in 2007. So I graduated from university in 2007, got that job 2007. And I just went for it. So starting out my career, young woman in the industry, putting my mark. You know what I mean? I guess there's always been a strong leadership quality about me. And even in my early 20s, some other of my friends now, Monica, who at the time I feared, she was an account manager. I actually was afraid of her. I'm going to have to tell her to listen to this. And I was afraid of her. And but she used to always say, drop the hammer, Jane, because my last name's Wareham. And it's a ham at the end, H-A-M. And she's like, drop the hammer. Jane's gonna drop the hammer. So look, I just started grinding it out. This is what I thought life was like. This is what I thought working in the agency world. How cool is that? I work for a digital agency. That's so cool. Yeah, not so cool. Working 8 to 8, maybe on a good day. I would always be the first one in the office because I like to have the peace and quiet. And there'd be so much to do, I'd be one of the last people to leave. And I did this year after year after year. I worked on weekends to meet deadlines. And one of the hardest things, if you work in a management role, one of the hardest things is you're not doing 90% of the fucking work. You're orchestrating it. I was like, a conductor, you're orchestrating the work, but you can't fucking do it all. And when your team lets you down, or maybe doesn't let you down, I shouldn't say that. Maybe when your team doesn't want to work on a weekend to meet the deadline because they got other shit to do. I remember sitting there at my desk, like it would be really rare. I would never cry at work in front of people. Never, ever. And I remember one day sitting at work, no one was there, and I was just crying because I was like, what the fuck am I gonna do? No one's here. And then it's also like, why am I here? What am I doing? So, what I'm trying to say here is I did real good. I did real good working myself up the ladder. I always thought that the more money I made, the more valued I was, the more I was proving myself to the company. The harder I worked, the better it made me look. This is the reality of the corporate world. There are very few companies that are like, yeah, just chill, chill out. It's getting more mainstream now. More companies are, having a 4-day work week. They are being a bit more relaxed, flexible on hours. COVID has changed a lot. But back in my day, yeah, wasn't like that. The harder you work, the longer you work, the better you looked, the more they considered you for a raise. Let me tell you, raises I fucking got. I can tell you right now, I was and still am an exceptional project manager. I knew exactly how to build relationships with people. I loved building connections with my team. I loved finding something within each person that I could connect to. There are natural things that I love to talk about, but it's like finding those little nuances with everyone. I loved that because I knew that if my team liked me, then they would be more inclined to do me the favors to get the work done. Because I saw when my team didn't like people, what happened? I was like, I can't be that. So I climbed the ladder, climbed, climbed, climbed. I would switch from one company to the other, get 10 more K, 10 more K, 10 more K, 20 K. And then about 8 years in, I was in my prime. I was in my late 20s, almost 30. I was killing it. I was making so much money. It was amazing. I was taking 3 trips a year, but I was burnt out. I was fucking exhausted. My health had faded. I was not taking care of myself. I just could not wait for Friday to have a fucking drink because my weeks were so insane. That realistically, I probably had drinks on Thursday. I couldn't even wait till Friday. Let's be real. I was like, let's go. Someone have a drink. Like, it'd be like, that was like the thing. You could not wait till beer cart came around. You could not wait to get out and go have a happy hour. I was just unhappy, honestly. And here's what would happen. So I took like 3 trips a year, which is, I'm blessed that I was able to do that. It's a very fortunate thing. I took 3 trips a year. I'm talking and go to Europe. I travel all over the world. I loved it. And when I was away, I felt amazing. I would be on a beach. I'd be soaking in the sun. I'd be relaxing. I'd be forgetting, literally forgetting about my life, forgetting about what happened back in Toronto. And then I'd come back to the same shit. I'd walk in and I'd have the same thing. Except about 500 new emails to read, 15 new fires to put out. Fuck, man. I realized, is this life? Like, I don't get, like, no, this cannot be it. Literally, I was like, this cannot be life. Like, why? I started to question things. Because I really wasn't that happy. And I was like, why the fuck am I not happy? This is what I wanted. I wanted to make over 100K. Check. I wanted to be in a senior role. Check. I wanted to manage million-dollar projects. Check. I wanted to travel the world. Check. I wanted to be in a relationship. Sure, that was checked a few times. I'm very fortunate to always have had very good relationships, even though they've ended. But I was fucking unhappy. So I realized something. There's nothing tying me to Toronto. And if I've successfully been in this career for 10 years and, 8 to 10 years by that point, if I took a break from it, even for a year, if I came back, I'm still highly marketable. I was like, I am. And so I decided I'm going to sell my shit. I'm going to quit my job and I'm going to travel. Now, let me just give a little pretense here as I realize I'm skipping a little bit of an important detail. So I had met someone and we were kind of seeing each other casually, and he then had to leave Canada. And it was when he left Canada that we really started to keep in touch more. And I went to visit him in France. We did France and Morocco. I came home the day I came back to Toronto. I booked my next vacation off work in 6 weeks, and him and I went to Greece. And Greece was kind of like, okay, if this is good, then I'm going to consider quitting my job and moving, and we're going to travel the world. So, I mean, spoiler alert, I already told you what I did. So I ended up quitting my job. I remember calling my parents up, calling up my mom, and telling her, being like, okay, so this is what's happening. And you've never met this person, and we're traveling around the world. Don't worry, I'm going to be safe. All good. And so she's supportive of anything I do. She's like, okay, I trust you. You know what I mean? That she's like, why wouldn't you do this? What do you have to lose? Nothing. So I traveled with him through Eastern Europe, Prague, Vienna, Macedonia, Bulgaria, Croatia, Montenegro, Istanbul. Oh my gosh, even more places I'm not listing. And then him and I made our way to New Zealand. And it was in New Zealand that I lived in Queenstown, the most beautiful. If you're watching the video, I'm spreading my arms out in a vast way. The most beautiful country. Oh man. Like, if you tell me where's your favorite place ever, I say Queenstown, New Zealand. Like, I've been to a lot of places. It's really hard to pick one. This place, Queenstown, New Zealand, in South Island, New Zealand. I knew fuck all about New Zealand. When we were moving there, I didn't even know it was two islands. Did you know? Geography lesson here. It's two islands, North Island and South Island. I went to New Zealand. I lived in Queenstown. I started handing out CVs. So if you, I'm trying to, I'll compare it to a few places. I'll compare it to somewhere else. Maybe you can, you'll get the gist. If you're Canadian and you know about Banff or Whistler, it's kind of the same vibe, except it's not in a mountain. Queenstown is in a valley. So it's in a valley. It's surrounded by mountains, and it has Wakatipu Lake, which is the largest lake in South Island, 81 kilometers long. And so it's right on the water and surrounded by mountains in a valley. So when I get out of the plane in New Zealand, we like walk out. I'm like, what the heck? Like, what is this? This is crazy. It's so small. And then I take this bus downtown. When I say take a bus downtown, I mean it's like a 7 minute drive, literally 7 minutes. So I take this bus downtown, and literally I'm like, oh my God, this place has five streets. Like, literally five streets. I like had this jacket. Like, this, if you're watching the video, I'm wearing my infamous leather jacket. Like, I had this jacket. It was like wearing it, I could not stick out anymore. Like, it was just so Queenstown is very much a tourist town. It has, you know, over 100,000 tourists that come through. It's very seasonal as well. So here I am. I'm like, okay. I mean, I always intended to work when I was away, so I could fund like my life. And so I started looking for work. I end up picking up a job in a staffing business. I'm like, what do I call this? It's called ad staff. So they provided temporary work to backpackers. And so I worked there for 8 months. Kim and Jane. Jane was a woman that worked there. Both Janes. Oh my God, incredible. They were like my mom. They were like my mom away from my family. Like, they just took me in under their wing. They were incredible. Lived in Queenstown for 8 months. It was some of the best time of my life. I started to realize the different type of work. So we're so used to, maybe you're used to, depending on what you do for work, but so used to this 9 to 5 thing. And when I was living there, it wasn't like that. And I was seeing people working in so many different types of jobs. It was really eye-opening. Something that also I did was I realized how fucking happy I was. I was on the water. I would sit on my balcony and have a landscape 180 degree view of the water, watching sunrises, sunsets. The sky was insane. Every weekend I go hiking. I'd hike Queenstown Hill. I would hike around. You could drive within an hour, do hikes everywhere. It was just incredible. So 8 months in, when my relationship, we decided to part ways. Queenstown, as I mentioned, is five streets. I remember the first weekend that I went out, like we all were at the same place, and I was like, okay, I can't do this. It's gonna be too challenging. I need to leave. So I decided to leave Queenstown, and I did something I would never imagine I would ever do. And what did I do? I did a solo road trip of the entire country. Now, Queenstown, New Zealand is relatively small. There's only a few main highways. So we're not talking like, five lane highways here. We're talking like single lane highways. And I rented a car, got it for a dollar a day, which is just insane to think about. A dollar a day. And I rented it for 2 weeks. I had a paper map. And I mean, obviously, I had data and stuff on my phone, but sometimes you're in places that have like really poor reception. Like you could get no reception between towns. So I had a paper map and off I went. I had no plan. Except I had to go from South Island to North Island in 2 weeks. And that whole thing just taught me a lot about myself. I'm someone that loves experiencing things with people. Quality time is my number one love language. I love creating memories with people. And I was in like a very sad place when the relationship ended. And it was like a moment to grieve. It was a moment to be in all of my feelings, to feel them, to let them out. Because when I left New Zealand, it was like starting a new life. Like I was like, wow, started this whole journey with this person. And we didn't part ways on bad terms. And that was probably the hardest part. So I did this solo road trip. It was just insane. Like, it was amazing. I would just pull over. I'd see things on the side of the road, like, stop. I'd see the most spectacular view. I stumbled across this trail, and it was a waterfall. And at the top of the waterfall was like 60 baby seals. Like, can you imagine seeing the base of a waterfall, like a swimming pool, with 60 baby seals? The fucking cuteness level, I can't even. It was one of the most amazing memories, maybe, of my life. Like, and I remember thinking when I was there, I was like, so there was a volunteer and there was a few other people, maybe three people there. And I just was like looking around, like, are you guys seeing this? Like, this is insane. This is so fucking cute. I could sit here all day, but I need to keep driving before it gets dark. Like, anyway, I learned a lot about myself. I learned about what I was capable of. I had no plan. I had no plan when I was doing that trip. I made my way to Auckland, and I remember journaling about, I journaled about my trip, and I remember taking off and making my way to Australia. And Australia was truly turning a new page. I was like, okay, here we go. Solo Jane's journey begins. And I traveled solo for 7 months. And I went to Australia, and Australia changed my life. It seriously changed my life, and here's why. So when I was in New Zealand, my job had quite a bit of responsibility. When I say quite a bit, I mean a lot of fucking responsibility. And because I was such a responsible human, Jane and Cam fucking loved that. And so it took the edge off them. It took the work away from them, and they just empowered me. So I was basically running the whole place. Like, that's just how I function. I was like running the whole place. So it was a lot. And so when I went to Australia, I was like, okay, I need to do something a little bit different. I just want to do something that's going to be like as if I have a little card I'm putting in, I'm pulling out. That's it. I'm done at the end of the day. Just going to take a sip of water here. So I make my way to Queensland. So I make my way to Cairns. And the reason I went all the way north to Cairns is because it was winter in that part of the world. And winter in Cairns is a nice summer day in Toronto. So it's pretty much unbearable in their true summer, but it was just they were like, go to Northern Australia. The weather's gonna be amazing. So I made my way there. And when I was there, Cairns is like transient. Like it's right where you're gonna, go on some tours. Great Barrier Reef is north of there. Like you're gonna see some incredible things. It's really a place where people kind of pass through. No one stays that long. When I was there, I met a group of Germans, and I'm still friends with Daniel to this day. I'm still friends with some of them, keep in touch with them on social media. And so I met a group of Germans and we all ended up staying in the same hostel. I was living in a hostel and I needed work. Right away, I was like, okay, I'm gonna take a few days to relax, but then I gotta work. Like I gotta work. So I went into an agency like I worked at. But I went in there and I was like, okay, I'm looking for temporary work. And they were like, okay, what would you like to do? And I was like, well, I worked for an agency before, and I did a number of things. I'm like, so I technically didn't have any serving experience really at all much in my life. So I was like, I can do housekeeping, cleaning hotel rooms. And they were like, cool, great, right away. I got a job. They actually did a test. Oh my God, it was fucking crazy. They had a fucking bed. They had a bed in a room. It was kind of creepy in their office. And the girl watched me make a bed. And she was like, okay, do this like double fold something. I'm not even joking. Like, I'm really fucking good at winging things. She knew that I at least had my head on straight and I at least tried. And she was like, you know what? That's not exactly how you do it, but it's okay. I believe that you're going to be fine. And so I got a job right away and I started working about 5 to 6 days a week. And this experience of housekeeping changed my life. So I was so used to working at a desk, sitting most of my day. I hate sitting. I hate it. I have so much energy. I just truly want to move around. Like, I just want to move. And this job had me moving. It certainly had me on my feet all day. And it was dirty. It was really gross sometimes, but it was a job. I realized that this is very much a career for a lot of individuals. And I realized what it's like to hold that role. How many times have you been somewhere when, like, whether you're at a resort, whether you're at a hotel, right? What do you think about the housekeeping staff? I was that person. And I was always friendly, of course. And, the North Americans always left American money. And the other cultures, it's like you knew. I'd walk in the room and I knew what culture was there. I'm not gonna lie. There are very distinctive things that people do. And so at the end of each day, though, I was physically exhausted and I fucking loved it. And I would end my day around like 2, 3 o'clock. I'd go and sit in the sun and I'd do it all over again and all over again. And this really, at the time, I didn't realize, but this was a huge moment for me because I was really doing something every day, moving my body that brought me so much joy. I was a leader because they would see how good I was and they would empower me with the team, and I just loved it. Like, I loved it. So fast forward, I lived in Australia. I only had 4.5 months. My visa was up. I moved to Bali. After that, I became a beach bum for a little bit. I lived in Bali for 2 months. It was absolutely beautiful, most beautiful beaches I've ever been to. And then I traveled as well in Vietnam. I bought a one-way ticket to Vietnam. I spent some time there. And then I decided to move back. That was a big moment because I never thought I'd come back. No one thought I would come back. I sold all of my things. Do you get that? Like, I literally had a box, like a chest at my brother's with a few things. Of course, you got your keepsakes, you don't want to lose that. So I decided to move back. But I decided to move back with a different mindset because I was so afraid that I would get sucked back into Toronto. I'm like, wow, Toronto's pulling me back. It's pulling me back. There's some reason I'm coming back here, but I don't want to do the same shit. But what else am I going to do? Like, am I going to clean hotel rooms in Toronto? Like, I can make a lot of money as a project manager. So I came back and I decided to do things differently. And it wouldn't have been, honestly, if I had never experienced doing other forms of work, I probably wouldn't have done this. I decided to start taking contract work. And I remember, so I moved back. My amazing friend Jen let me stay with her for, I stayed with her for about 4 weeks, 5 weeks. I got a job. I got my place, which is currently the place I live right now to this day. And I decided, though, when I was applying for jobs, I had actually been offered a full-time contract. And then I was also offered a 3-month contract. And I remember calling up my mom and being like, I mean, I know the answer because I don't seek out, I'm a really quick decision maker, and I don't often seek out other people's feedback because it kind of muddies the water. So I basically, but I did call her and say, I have this, I'm presented with these two things. I know what I want to do. And I just needed her to say, yeah, do it. And of course, she's like, you just traveled the world, girl. Like, you're a risk taker. Take the 3 months. If it doesn't work out, the other job will probably still be there. So I started contracting. And this was amazing. I started to have a bit more freedom and flexibility in my day. I opted to take a contract that was not full time. That was 30 hours a week. And also, I was making as much as I would be if I was make if I was working full time because I was contract and I was able to bill at a higher rate. And what that allowed me to do was then pursue some of my dreams. So throughout my whole life, I've always loved movement. I used to run health and wellness programs when I was a project manager in my offices. When I was living abroad, I remember with Teresa in Australia training her. Like we would do workouts together. And it just like naturally came to me. So my sister had said to me, you should get certified as a personal trainer. Like, why not? You'd be amazing. And I had my own personal trainer in the past, and he completely changed my life. And I was like, I got the time. Let's do it. So then I got certified as a personal trainer, group fitness instructor. That's when I became a coach. That's when I started to truly make my dreams my reality. So, yes, I took this contract work to free up space so I could start doing more of the things I loved. Because if I were working a job that was 8 to 8, there's no way I'd have any time or energy to do anything like that. I had to create the space first. And then I got certified as a coach. And then I got jobs at two studios. And the feedback I was getting as a coach was just incredible. People didn't know what I did for my other job. People would say, I don't know if you have another job outside of this, but you were meant to do this. I remember getting that feedback specifically, and it like made me so fucking happy because I struggled to identify as a personal trainer, group fitness instructor. This is the first time imposter syndrome really crept in. And this is something you might feel in your life. No doubt every single person listening has felt that in their life. So I felt like I didn't fit the part of a personal trainer, which is so fucked up. Like it legit is so fucked up because I did. And personal trainers can look in every shape, form, whatever, and I was fit. So it just is messed up that I even thought that. But we all have our own fears. Our mind gets the best of us. And that was the first time I felt imposter syndrome. And it was a struggle. And I really didn't have the tools at the time to work with that, to work through it. I just would pretend. And then eventually, of course, I started to build my confidence more and more. Each year that I was a personal trainer, almost each month, I felt more confident. I started to build my competence. I started to get better and better. And so after being certified and working in two studios for about a year and a half, I decided, I'm like, okay, I'm itching for something new. I'm itching for something different. I think it's time I stop the contract work and go all into health and wellness. If you're a business owner, you've probably had this thought. And if you've gone all in, then you've certainly had this thought. Maybe you're thinking you want to go all in. I said, if I don't try this health and wellness thing right from the start, like, if I don't go all in, how am I ever going to know if it's going to turn into something? The hardest part for me was the money, because I was so driven by money that I was really aware that there wasn't enough hours in the day for me to make the same money that I was making in project management. Like, I would have to work an insane number of hours as a personal trainer. And I was like, not sure about that. But I said, I'm going to give it a go. January 2020, stop my contract, get a job at a private studio. February 2020, news of COVID. March of 2020, gyms close. I thought, what the actual fuck? What the fuck did I do? Why did I do this right now? But you know what? I always find opportunity. I always create opportunity. I see it. And two women that I used to train at a gym wanted virtual fitness classes. They were the type that attended classes four times a week, and they wanted the same thing. No one knew what was going to happen with COVID. No one knew. But certainly, a lot of people didn't want it to mess up their workout routine that they worked so hard to create. And that's how it started. It started with a text message. Emma and Kate, forever grateful for them, because I started a business overnight. I said, I can do Zoom workouts. The benefit for me was I was already so comfortable with technology that moving to Zoom was like a no-brainer. Like, I was like, okay, it'll be like a workout video. I don't know. I'll figure it out. Yes, at the beginning, the sound was terrible. Yes, the microphone was non-existent. Yes, there was a lot of shitty things, the lighting, all this stuff, but no one cared. They were there for my energy. They were there to move. And it brought me so much joy. And I went from zero to like 40 clients in a month. And I kept those clients. And I had like a 90, 99% sign-up rate when someone tried a class. Like, it was just amazing. I built a team. I hired two other coaches. And really, I started to believe in myself. I really did. A year into my business, I was like, okay, I want to level up. I need to get to a next level. So I hired a coach. I hired Hina Khan, a peak performance coach. She's absolutely incredible. And my wheels were spinning. They were really spinning. And through the time working with her, I built an online program. I built a 12-week program that was all about the mindset behind health and wellness. I also had an amazing mentor, Jeff Melis, and he helped me to build this program. He'd been in the health and wellness industry for 20 years, and he was instrumental in helping me see that health is actually more mindset than anything else. And the reason why people aren't achieving their health and wellness goals, if you're listening, the reason why you might not be achieving your health and wellness goals, the reason why you might be yo-yo dieting or constantly struggling, is because your mindset's not in the right place. It's mind before anything. And this was back in, 2021. And I was like, wow, I made this program. I started transforming lives. It was insane. I was like, this is fucking incredible. Like, this whole mindset thing. And I started to shift my mindset. What's really interesting is when I decided to stop my virtual fitness business and go into life coaching, I faced imposter syndrome again. I had spent all this time building up my confidence as a personal trainer, as a CEO. Yet I felt more comfortable saying that I did project management for 15 years. And then I became a life coach. And then I was a mindset expert. And I was like, am I? Well, I fucking am. But like, can I call myself that? Oh my God. Like the fear, the doubt that came in. But let me tell you, I've been really doing, side hustle into a, my own business for the last 6 years. And like 4 years of going all in. And then, but let me tell you that over the last 4 years, 4.5 years now, I also do pick up some other work. And I haven't completely forgotten about my project management stuff. And look, I'm going to tell you, this was a mind shift I had to make. And I'll do some episodes on this. But another mind shift I had to make was allowing things to be easy. I made shit so hard for myself. I believed that if I took on project management work again, that I was selling myself short, that I was not succeeding in my business, and that it was a terrible decision. I'm like, why would I do that? Even though I saw that I could have project management on my terms because I worked incredible contracts before I started my business. But I had such like a resistance to it. But when I was working with Hina, she was like, what would be easy? Like I was in a really bad money mindset. When I stopped doing the virtual fitness, I knew there was something bigger for me. I knew there was more. And I wasn't seeing money come in because I was evolving my business. I was getting certified as a life coach. I was watching my bank account go down, down, down. I was investing in myself like crazy. My credit cards were maxed out. I was terrified. I was absolutely terrified. And I was in a terrible money mindset. And I didn't feel abundant. I felt lack every day. I would cry, not every day, but at the end of every month. My bills always got paid. Shit always happens. It always does. They always got paid, but I was just feeling broke. And she said to me, what would be easy? And I realized there's nothing wrong with picking up project management work. There's absolutely nothing wrong with doing that. Project management can be a part of my corporation. Why not? Consulting? That's what I do. I do consulting. And so I started to pick up some small contracts, and that just made me feel abundant again. It was easy because the contracts were literally handed to me. And I'm grateful for that. And I allowed it to be easy. And the one nice thing was, is I already was so confident as a project manager. It was like nice to feel good at something. Because let me tell you, in my first 2 years as an entrepreneur, I felt like a fucking failure every month. I felt like I should have more clients. I felt like I should have more money. I felt like I should be farther ahead. I was looking at other businesses that had had their business for 10 years and I was comparing myself to them. I was constantly questioning what I was doing. I was always looking for how. How can I get more clients? How can I get more money? My focus was all fucking off. It was not on the right thing. I had to shift my focus, another mind shift that I made. Who, not how? The how is none of my fucking business. Who do I need to be to have what I want? Even before that, what the fuck do I want? What do I want? What is my dream? What does my dream business and life look like? If I have not defined this, how am I ever going to start moving in that direction? It's just not going to happen. So that was a shift I had to make. I had to realize that embodiment is everything. Yes, you need to take action, but if you are not embodying who you need to be to have what you want. For example, if you want 20K months, if you want even 5K months, Who is 20K Jane? What does 20K per month Jane think? What does 20K per month Jane feel? How does she feel? What is she doing based off how she's feeling? I need to be that now. So who, not how? That was a major mind shift I made. And like I said, I had to stop following people in my first few years of having my business. I felt like I was in, co everyone was competition. If they're getting more clients, then that means less for me. Man, I had it all wrong. Collaboration over competition. We rise together. If you celebrate others, more celebration will come back to you. What you put out, you will get back. So, fast forward now. Man, oh man, this last year. So, last year, early last year, January, I completed my certifications, started coaching, started honing in on who I want to work with, on who do I want to be, what type of life do I want to live. I manifested shit like I never imagined. I was selected to be in a global summit. The summit just happened, it was last week. It's insane. Oh my God. I was one of 50 speakers selected. And let me tell you, as I mentioned at the beginning, everything starts with a thought, okay? That's why it's so important to think about what you really want. I became or was selected to be a speaker at this summit, and it started off with a thought in my journal. I am speaking on global stages. Because I was writing that I was traveling around the world, because that's something that I really just wanted to be a part of my life. I am traveling around the world. You always write as if it's already happening. And then I am speaking on global stages. I wrote that for about 3 weeks before I Googled, how does one speak on global stages? Again, it started with a thought. I wasn't quite ready to like action on it, but I was ready to think about it. Oh my gosh. I, you know, was selected for the summit. I got it on the cover of a fucking magazine. Like, again, an opportunity was put right in front of my face. Write an article for the January magazine of Women Thrive. It's all about health and wellness. I saw that message and I said, I am going to write the best fucking article. It is going to be so different than what most people will probably write about, because there's other health coaches that are a part of that community. And I said, I'm going to talk about the mindset behind health. I'm going to talk about, and the article was called Your New Year's Resolution to Get Fit is the Reason You're Not Fit. And I'm going to talk about the mindset behind health and how important this is. And then I submitted it. I was so proud of it. And I was like, this is getting on the cover. There's no other way. And I was selected for the cover. I have learned over the last 4 years that I need to believe in myself. And if I don't believe in myself, I got to surround myself with people that certainly believe in me more than I do. And I got to hold on to the belief, because if I can believe that something's possible for me, there's no stopping. It's going to happen. And this is a lengthy story. This is a lengthy episode. But I really wanted to share with you a real glimpse into how I got to where I am today. And where am I today? In December, I evolved. I don't use the word pivot very much. I evolved. I was speaking to the corporate woman, which the corporate woman still very much will get a lot out of this. I speak to the multi-visionary like myself, could be part corporate woman, could be part entrepreneur. Maybe I like to say entrepreneur first, corporate woman, side hustle. And I evolved that. I started speaking directly to the entrepreneur because I realized I have set the mental foundations over the last 4 years that are required to have a successful business and to have a happy life. If you don't have a strong foundation, there's no way when you're not seeing the results, monetary clients, that you're going to have motivation to keep going. There's no way. And when you are so tied to the outcome, you lose focus on your why. Why did you start your business? What type of impact do you want to make? Why are you doing this? Inevitably, money's the result. Yeah. We all want to be rich. Yeah, I want to be rich. I want to be wealthy, no doubt. I've got goals. I've got those goals. But I want to be of service. I want to make an impact. I want to help as many people as possible see that through simple mind shifts, putting in the work, applying the tools, having a growth mindset can transform your life forever. So now I'm working with the entrepreneur, and it's amazing because these a lot early entrepreneurs, I'm like, oh my God, if I knew this shit 4 years ago, my gosh, who knows where I'd be right now. I'm grateful for where I am right now. Everything happens for a reason. And that's where I'm here now, you know? And that's why I evolved this podcast. That's why this podcast is now Mind Shift, because I've made so many incredible mind shifts. I'm going to continue to talk about them in detail. I'm going to have amazing guests on, and they're going to share their success in their business, and it's going to inspire you. And they're going to talk to how their mindset has changed. The most important thing, if you want to succeed, is you want to learn from those who are where you want to be. So I surround myself with women that are where I want to be. My current coach made 180K a month. Like, how insanely amazing is that? Bring it on. I'm ready for it. Let's go. So I hope you enjoyed hearing this story. Just to like riff, I just let myself riff off on this, you know? Let it flow from the heart. And I'm thankful that you're here. I'm thankful for you listening. I'm really excited about this season. If you enjoyed season one, hey, hit me up. Let me know. I know a lot of you have. And I can't wait for season two. So let's make these mind shifts together. Let's go on this journey together. And I want to thank you for listening. And it's going to be an amazing season. Thanks for listening today. Be sure to download, subscribe, rate, and share this with a friend if you really enjoyed this episode. Have a comment or a topic you'd like me to cover? I'd love to hear it. Come connect with me over Instagram at Jane Wareham. See you next time.